Everything Nicholas Snow is available at nicholassnow.com. For our video programming, check out nicholassnow.tv. Please subscribe to the show for free at iTunes or by downloading a podcast app from your favorite app store. Are you ready for a snowstorm of global proportion? Yes, over 6 feet of snow has just hit your podcast experience. And here he is, Nicholas Snow.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the show. It is October 1st, 2015 at 10 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time. But this show lives in perpetuity, so who knows when you will be listening. One of the themes of this show in recent weeks has been filmmakers with something in common. Filmmakers often have a lot in common, but in this case, what they have in common is they were all selected to participate in Cinema Diverse, the 2015 Palm Springs LGBTQ Film Festival, and this episode is no different. I welcome writer, director, cinematographer, and editor Amir Jaffer with producer Liz Grillo of the short film. The English language title is My Life in Dance, but in Spanish, I'm going to try to pronounce it, Mi Vida en el Valle. I don't know if I said that right or not, but I'll learn in just a few minutes. At any rate, I have a really interesting, compelling conversation with these two, how they met, what they're each working on, their passion. Regarding the film, My Life in Dance, the synopsis: at 90, Miguel Santos continues to share his love of flamenco on stage and in workshops in San Francisco. In this short biopic, Miguel traces his artistic journey and shares events of his life that took him across the United States and to Spain, where he learned from the legends of flamenco. And here's a clip from My Life in Dance.
I was a dancer from the... I just knew I was going to be a dancer. After 2 years of college, I said, if I want to be a dancer, I better start getting some training. And so I started ballet, and I did ballet for about 7 years. Then I auditioned for Jose Greco in the 50s, late 50s. I hadn't really had too much training in Spanish flamenco. He auditioned me, and then I joined Jose Greco in New York, was with the company for about a year. But then I realized I needed more training. My brother passed away, and he left me some money. So this was a chance that I had to go to Spain. Lived in Spain for about 5 or 6 months, and studied with La Kika. At that time, she was the number one teacher there, and I kept all my training through her.
The snowstorm continues after this.
Spotlight on Palm Springs.
Come to Lulu, the award-winning California bistro. Fabulous breakfast, a luscious three-course Sunday brunch, scrumptious dinners serving fresh fish, perfect steaks, pizzas, salads, and more. Something for everyone. A three-course special to savor from $15.99. The best all-day and night happy hour. There's always a party at Lulu in the heart of downtown Palm Springs on South Palm Canyon and Arenas.
Hi, I'm Nicholas Snow. Many of you know that I am HIV positive. I'm living powerfully with HIV because I benefit from the services of the Desert AIDS Project in Palm Springs, California, and I'm very happy to bring you this news from another grateful client of Desert AIDS Project.
I'm more proactive with my health now, I think, than I was before, and I think that's because there's other people that are being proactive with me. You know, there's people that are interested and concerned about it.
A lot of services that are very difficult to access to HIV-infected patients are gathered within one roof. We do have access to substance abuse counselor, mental health services, psychiatrists. We have dental service programs. We have nutritional programs, housing, AIDS management, very unique in the nation, that all the programs, including medical services, are administered within one facility.
Coming here, I felt just an amazing amount of love from Desert AIDS Project. They are people who just care in the community, people who want to put a hand out and say, let me hold yours. And I think that makes all the difference in the world.
For more information, visit desertaidsproject.org.
And now, on with the show. He's a regular contributor to the Huffington Post and to media outlets throughout the world. He's an author, singer, songwriter, actor, and activist, and the executive producer and host of NicholasSnow.tv. He has created and continues to do so a snowstorm of global proportions dedicated to connecting the circuitry of humanity. And now, drifting into the studio and your life once again, Nicholas Snow.
I mentioned at the top of the show that my guest in this particular period of my show's production all participated in Cinema Diverse, the Palm Springs LGBTQ Film Festival. It's an annual event. Find them at cinemadiverse.org. In this episode, writer, director, cinematographer, and editor Amir Jafar with producer Liz Grillo of the short film My Life in Dance. I told you about the synopsis at the top of the show. I have a little bit more info about Amir before I bring the duo online. Amir began exploring the world of filmmaking with his father's video camera at the age of 13. He realized his childhood dream when he began working as an independent producer in San Francisco in 2005. His earlier work focused more on content and subject matter than on a particular visual style. Influenced by filmmakers Rainer Ferner Fassbinder, Pedro Almodovar, and Deepa Mehta, Amir focused on social issues that intrigued him, and which ranged from gender identity to domestic violence to sexuality. And now he's exploring the world of dance in at least two documentaries that I know of. But without further ado, let's welcome to the show filmmaker Amir Jafar and Liz Grillo. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen.
Hi.
And gentlemen.
Hey.
How are you doing? Thanks for having us.
Oh, listen,
thank
it's my pleasure. You know, the last time that the three of us had a conversation, it was even later at night than this. So I'm happy to revisit our late night conversation at Lulu California Bistro at the closing night party of Cinema Diverse. And a lot has happened since then, and it's only been a couple of weeks.
Yeah, a lot has happened.
Before I talk to you a bit more, Amir, Liz, I don't have a lot of information about your background, and I'd love to know if you'd just describe how you ended up, where you grew up, how you ended up in the Bay Area, and what first drew you to flamenco.
Oh, absolutely. I am a native San Franciscan, so I was born in San Francisco, and there's not a lot of us left.
Well, that means that your parents probably bought a house there when they could afford to do so.
Well, we're not a part of that. I wish. I really wish. But, I did grow up there, and I started flamenco, actually, in 2000. And I started it through an employer of mine. She actually was dancing with Theater Flamenco at the time with the artistic director. She wasn't with Miguel, but she was with who's now the artistic director, I should say, with Carola. And so she told me that, you know, hey, I know you're a dancer. Why don't you go check this out? And I did. And let me tell you, I got hooked. You get sucked in and you just don't stop. So I've been dancing ever since. I did stop for a little bit. And then I started again in 2010, and I've been going at it ever since, and I love it.
Wow. How did you, Amir, why don't you tell me how you first met Liz, and then Liz, if you have a different version of the story, I'll let you jump in.
Well, I met Elizabeth last year. We were working on another documentary project coincidentally about flamenco as well. I'm working with another flamenco dancer in the Bay Area. Her name is Danita Senagokovic, and she teaches flamenco at ODC. And Liz was taking some classes with her. So last year, we took this whole crew with us, students and some other friends. We went to Sanlúcar, south of Spain, where Danita had workshops for her students. And that's when I met Liz Grillo. And so we came back, and we stayed in touch. And then later on in the year, she asked me, hey, I'm also associated with Theater Flamenco. And, one of our co-founders, Miguel Santos, is turning 90 in May. And I want to make a documentary about him. Can you help me with that? And that's how we got started on this project. So initially, this project, My Life in Dance, was supposed to be for Miguel's birthday. But then, we got a really great response from film festivals, and we continue to get into more festivals.
So you really made it as a birthday tribute, and then you realized that you had done a good enough job for it to start touring as a documentary short.
It was a pleasant surprise.
Wow. So, Liz, you thought you were producing a birthday tribute, and then you ended up being a movie producer. How's that for serendipity?
I know, it's fabulous. It's been surreal, actually. I really didn't expect this. I did this just out of passion for the dance and just knowing Miguel's story, because there's just so much more to the story than the 13-minute documentary that we did on him, and it blew me away. I just had no idea until I started talking to him, and I was like, somebody's got to do something for this man he's just a gem in San Francisco, in the Bay Area, but also for what he does for flamenco and specifically for theater flamenco, what he has done.
I want our listeners to know that Theater Flamenco, the website is I don't know if I'm on the right. I think I am on the, yeah, it's theaterflamenco.org.
Yes.
And theater is the traditional spelling of theater, theatre, flamenco.org. I want our listeners to know how to find that. But Amir, you met Liz because you were already working on a dance-related documentary, but how did you end up in San Francisco working on film, and what is it that drew you to your first dance-related film?
Well, I came to the United States to complete my education. I went to San Jose State, and I came here in 98. And then when I stayed here, I was in college, and, I knew in the back of my mind something different about me, and here I got to explore that side of my life, and I realized, hey, I'm gay. And then, things changed for me rapidly. Then I met my partner here, and then I decided to stay here. I felt like I feel more comfortable here. And then after that, I was thinking, what path should I take? What career? Because I was in banking and I wasn't really happy. I was paying the bills, but I said I need to do something more. And I always wanted to be a filmmaker since I was a kid. And here I got the opportunities to work with accomplished award-winning filmmakers in the San Francisco Bay Area and learn from them. And then I made some feature, narrative features in the beginning. But then I realized that there's a big documentary film market in the Bay Area. And my first documentary was on drag queens, the drag culture in San Francisco. And you can actually stream that on Amazon, streaming on Amazon.com. It's called Drag, Not Just Men in Heels. And so after that project, I was every year looking for something different, some story that caught my attention. In 2011, I met Robert Deckers. He's a ballet dancer. He has a company called Post Ballet. And he wanted to work with a filmmaker for doing visuals for his show. He does a show every year in the Herbst Theater in San Francisco. It's a big production. And so working with him on the visuals, I thought, this is really interesting. It's kind of like music video, but it's not really like a music video. So then I started thinking, hey, how about combining documentary with dances? There's so many different kinds of dances. Then I heard the sad news about my mom. She was diagnosed with liver cancer. And I was sitting in my apartment one night, and my partner was, you know, he has a lot of DVDs. He loves to collect DVDs. And there was this one about Carmen. I forgot her last name. This helped me earlier. Yeah. Not Carmen
Miranda.
Carmen
Amaya. Carmen Amaya. Thank you, Liz, for that. I saw her, this little diminutive woman, doing this dance, and it's flamenco. I heard about flamenco, but I never kind of, you know, paid attention to it. And she was dancing like she was on fire, and the music was so powerful that I started getting emotional. I said, you know what, I want to do something with flamenco. And then, you know, me and my partner were sitting in a living room, and he's good with searching stuff online. He said, hey, there's a show happening tomorrow night at this place, Mission Flamenco. Let's go and check it out. Anyway, so, you know, long story short, that's how I got into this world of flamenco, and it opened one door after another for me. Meeting Danita Sena at ODC and working with her on a couple of projects, and then through her meeting Liz, and now doing a documentary on Miguel Santos, My Life in Dance. So it's just been an amazing journey. And, you know, I don't think this will be the last documentary that I'm doing on flamenco. I foresee myself doing at least one or two more, covering different angles. You know, there are so many gay male dancers in flamenco. There's the music, you know, the culture, the history. There's so many aspects to this art form. It's just amazing.
You know, what I think is fascinating about the two of you is basically you in different ways were following your bliss and your passion and your path, and that connected you to each other. But regarding the subject of your film, Miguel Santos, here is a 90-year-old man who has been involved in one way or another with the LGBT community before it even existed as a community. And Amir, you come from a culture where, correct me if I'm wrong, it is still virtually impossible to be out and accepted as an LGBT person. And Liz, you grew up in San Francisco, one of the first places in the world where LGBT people could simply live their lives and be themselves. So your storylines converge so you can tell the story of Miguel Santos. I think that that's all quite fascinating.
Yeah,
I guess I should ask a question. What would you how would you respond to that point, Amir?
Well, I just want to say this, and then, you know, maybe Liz can, you know, chime in. The thing is that when Liz asked me to do this project, and I met Miguel, first of all, I was in shock. I said, this guy cannot be a 90-year-old guy. He's so active, and he's like full of, you know, like Betty Davis said, full of fire and music, the word she used in All About Eve. He was really full of fire and music kind of guy. And then I saw him in a workshop to film some B-roll, and he was doing this amazing footwork. I'm like, wow, this guy is amazing. And then I learned that he's also gay. And he's living with his partner 58 years, and Liz told me that they got married last year at City Hall. And I was like, somehow we need to bring this thread in this story, even though it's not really about, you know, his life and, you know, his partner, but it's about Tierra Flamenco. But I just felt like even in the 13 minutes, somehow we have to weave that in. And
yeah.
My thing was, like you said, you know, earlier, that I come from a culture where, you know, it's still the laws that exist on the book is, you know, it's illegal to be gay. It's punishable by death, basically, the old British laws that still are on the book in Pakistan. So here I am watching this guy who's 90, and I was, you know, thinking that he must have lived through this whole struggle of the LGBT movement in the United States. Even back in the day in San Francisco, I mean, this wasn't always the gay mecca and the place to be yourself. There was a lot of, you know, history here where it was illegal to be gay, and, you know, so many people were persecuted. And I said, I want to know from this guy who lived through this history that we watch in movies nowadays, and about Harvey Milk and, you know, Stonewall and all that. And Miguel, you know, we couldn't bring all of that story in this 13 minutes, but Miguel choked up when he recalled how so many of the gay men, they lost because of HIV and AIDS, the AIDS epidemic. And he was there at the beginning of this epidemic. And he choked up and he you know, said more. But I felt, you know, Liz and I talked about it, that it would be unfair to kind of, you know, squish that in here, because that when we do a long-form documentary, we want to bring that in and talk about that time, that horrible, horrific time when the LGBT community was, completely isolated and in shock.
Yeah, I think also when we were interviewing Miguel, I was not 100% sure if he would even talk about it. I could still feel a sense of hesitation from him, and I think it's probably because of the generation that he is from and what he has lived. He felt a little uncomfortable when I asked him, because I was the one who was interviewing Miguel, these questions, but I could see the emotion in his face, and I thought that these were really important things to ask him in regards to the time that, you know, he went through. And he's very conservative, and I think it shows from the era in which he grew up in. And I think it's a huge step for Miguel to actually have said these things on film, which were not very many things that we actually, you know, put on the 13-minute documentary. But, yeah, it's definitely, we have enough B-roll, is it, Amir, that we did on him that I think we could do a whole entire hour. I mean, because he just had so much information. It was really heart-wrenching and incredible to be the interviewee and to actually, you know, hear his story and his side.
Wow. I think it's just really beautiful that the way that you two came to know each other, and then you combined your talents and passion to celebrate Miguel, who has lived an astounding life. Amir, I don't know if you remember the second audio clip that you sent. I would love to play it. If you remember which one you sent me, you could set it up. But if you don't remember, I can just play it and we'll all be surprised.
Well, I don't know which clip that is, but let's our audiences be surprised. Why don't you play it and we can talk about it?
Okay, I'm going to play the clip, and we will come back and continue our discussion here on the Nicholas Snow Show. Here we go.
Bunny is he's my partner. We've been together for 58 years. I met him in Phoenix, Arizona. He was finishing his master's. He was planning to come to live in San Francisco, but I was going to Los Angeles. I had a show to do at $1 Million Theater, and I said, well, why don't you come with me to Los Angeles? And that's when we started our lives together. He learned how to do costumes, had no training whatsoever, nothing. And he said, well, I can do your blouses, I can do some of your vests and some of your pants. He learned all that by himself. There was a disaster in Los Angeles at our home. The earth moved 10 feet. I was here in San Francisco performing when that happened. Anyway, we lost that house. And then I told Bunny, I said, my career would only be extended if I stay here in San Francisco. San Francisco at that time was so open. Of course, there was still the police trying to harass the gay people. But then when we moved here, we saw how free San Francisco was and that we could be ourselves. There's a whole generation with a new explanation. Harvey Milk was really doing things for the gay community, and we thought, well, we finally arrived. And
everything Nicholas Snow is available at NicholasSnow.com. For our video programming, check out NicholasSnow.tv. Please subscribe to the show for free at iTunes. or by downloading a podcast app from your favorite app store. The snowstorm continues after this.
Designer furnishings, sparkling cocktail rings, vintage jeans and shirts for moms, teens, boys, and flirts. Area rugs and stylish bedding design your wedding. Shiny knickknacks and glam Hollywood throwbacks. You'll find it here at Revival. Voted best of the Valley thrift stores. Now with even more new treasures, plus one-of-a-kind consignment and estate items. Fashion, accessories, furniture, it's all in store at Revival. Find it here. Visit us at revivalstores.com to find a Revival store near you.
Hey folks, mark your calendars for early November because it's time for Greater Palm Springs Pride, Southern California's popular and longest-running LGBT festival in the Coachella Valley. Palm Canyon Drive is closed to traffic and transformed into a vibrant, pedestrian-friendly Pride festival unique to Southern California. Palm Springs Pride is also one of the sponsoring organizations of the annual Harvey Milk Diversity Breakfast, which takes place every year in May. Visit pspride.org.
The LGBT Community Center of the Desert is a nonprofit organization dedicated to enriching the lives of the LGBT community in the Valley through health and wellness, social and educational programs. The center advances its mission through a clinical counseling and internship program, senior programs, youth anti-bullying and suicide prevention support programs, a growing volunteer program, and signature special events in the community for its members and allies. For more information on the LGBT Community Center, visit them on the web at thecenterps.org.
Ever since we were all spied together at the film festival, those paparazzi, they won't leave us alone. at any rate, I think it's perfect that that clip was of Miguel talking about his partner, given what we had spoken about leading into it. Amir, you grew up in Pakistan, and I'm wondering... do you have memories of hearing about or seeing the execution of members perceived to be LGBT or T? What are your memories around the LGBT issue personally and in your culture?
Well, fortunately, in Pakistan, compared to Iran and Saudi Arabia, there have been very few instances where they implemented the law. So the legal system is very corrupt there, or used to be when I was living there. So basically, it's an honor thing for the family. It's a matter of shame. There are places where guys used to hook up and meet when I was living there or growing up in the 80s and 90s. But if, you know, the cops caught yours or, you know, then either you pay them a bribe and, you know, but the thing is that luckily, there's been no hangings or killings like we've seen in Iran and Saudi Arabia. Nonetheless, there, if you look at the law, the legal system over there, they still have this old British penal code there. And under that, sodomy is punishable by death. And also, if you look at the Sharia law, which, you know, all these fundamentalists are trying to, implement in the country, according to that, it's definitely punishable, you know what I mean, by death, like you have in Iran and Saudi Arabia. But like I said, you know, so far, you know, the good news is they don't have a majority there to implement the Sharia law. And luckily or fortunately or unfortunately, however you look at it, they don't implement the law in their own spirit. That's why, you know, gays and lesbians can exist as long as they are not out and about, you know, in anybody's face. So when I was there, I knew I was different. I was growing up in the 80s, but I never, you know, dared to do anything. My father was very influential, and he knew a lot of people. And my fear was, what if the word gets out? It's going to be a matter of shame for the family. And so out of that, I just kept to myself till I came to the United States. And, you know, here's where I got the courage, basically. You know, seeing the gay pride in San Francisco and, you know, all the freedoms people have here to do, you know, to be themselves, basically.
You know, your story reminds me uh, of something. I had just, I'm older than both of you, but I was in college in the early 1980s and at Arizona State University, and some of my classes were in. One of my professors was a man from Iran, a Persian man, and I ended up bumping into him at a gay bar. And he was extremely uncomfortable to be seen. And I'm just guessing that, you know, if you're in the conservative state of Arizona and you teach in a business school and you are Persian and coming from a culture where it has a completely different view, that would be startling, a startling experience. So, Liz, you grew up in the Bay Area. Have you ever even thought twice about someone being a member of the LGBT community?
I'm sorry, I'm not understanding. Maybe it's because I don't even understand.
Well, I mean, did it ever seem anything but normal to you that people were that there was an LGBT community and people were part of it, and that was an aspect of life?
Yeah, that's totally a part of life. See, I feel this is why I'm like listening to Amir's story and thinking, oh my God, I am so blessed. I just am. We live in a bubble in the Bay Area, especially in San Francisco, and it's a great bubble. That's why everybody wants to come to San Francisco. and this is all. I mean, I can't even imagine. I feel very blessed that I grew up where I grew up for many reasons, but one of them is that they have an LGBT community. And I've been exposed to, I wouldn't even say exposed because it's just a part of my life. To even say exposed is meaning like it's something that's not a part of someone's life. It's a part, you know, it's a part of everyday life for me. And I wouldn't think of it any other, you know, like I couldn't think of it without it, because it's a part of who I am. And I think that everybody should, and that's why I'm blessed. I don't realize what I have until I go to places like Arizona and like other places in the Midwest that I'm just like, I feel like I'm in the Twilight Zone. And then I go, oh, wait. And then I go, oh, wait, I forgot. I don't live on, quote, unquote, what is normal. And, you know, the rest of them, and I'm thinking, no, this is all backwards. So, you know, I don't know. It's really hard. That's the reason why when you asked me that question, I was like, what are you talking about? I don't understand.
One of the things that, you know, we had kind of a magical moment because I didn't know it was magical at the time, but you shared with me, one of you shared with me a little bit about this later, but I made it a point to see your screening because I knew you were one of the filmmakers that would be on my show, and I wanted to make sure I had seen the film before you were on. And I was meeting you in person for the first time right before your screening, and I just happened to mention that when you attend a film festival, you should never be concerned whether or not you have a handful of people in your screening or a packed house, because of all the other things that happen as a result of being at the film festival. And then you were already booked to come on this show, and then moments later you were both taken out into the lobby to do a television interview.
Fabulous.
Yeah, that was.
And then you shared with me that the night of the closing party, you happened to grab a bite to eat at Lulu, and then up on the news monitor, there you guys were on the evening news.
That was such a mystical day for us.
Yes, it was. It was truly amazing. I mean, it was so funny because we were at the bar at Lulu's talking about it. I'm going, I wonder if we're going to make the news. And all of a sudden, Amir goes, Liz, look. He's like, we're there. And I'm like, oh, my God. So he busts out his camera and, you know, he's filming it. And I'm like, this is incredible. It was amazing.
Well, you've since found that video online, right? On the news. On the news. Fantastic. Listen, you need to make sure that you download it because they don't leave it there forever.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
just so you know, years ago I did a fantastic interview that I don't have access to it anymore because I just thought it would forever be on their server. And then we partied into the night, and I know that you guys didn't go to bed until like 1 in the morning, and then I think we're getting up at 5 to drive.
Yes.
But you were sharing the drive, but I'm guessing, even though you had the option of sleeping in the car, that you were probably both so wound up about your experience that you talked the whole way.
We did.
Yeah, we were. I mean, we were really excited because that day when we woke up, Liz was like finding all the places we should go and eat. She's really good with that. We found this place, Cheeky. Is that what it is?
Yeah, it's one of the most popular breakfast places in town.
It's great.
We had breakfast there. And I was like getting nervous if we'll make it in time. But, you know, Liz is a very calm person. She's very grounded. So I was like, okay, everything will be fine. We got back to our hotel, dressed up, and we arrived at the theater, at the Camelot Theater. And as soon as we arrived there, Michael, the programming director, comes up to us, hey, guys, the news crew is here, and we want you guys to do your interview. And I was like, wow. It's like, wasn't expecting that. And then we met you, and, you know, you gave us this advice that, you know, even if there's not that many people at that time of the day, we shouldn't be discouraged by it. And that was right because, you know, we got a lot out of that.
I think it's fantastic.
Just being there, it was great.
It was meant to be. It's an incredible experience.
You know, I feel the same way because I came by your table at the after party basically to say good night, and then we ended up spending another 2 hours together. So you're both so charming, I couldn't resist.
No, you are too.
Thank you.
but now we're connected, and we get to continue to celebrate and support one another as we dance through life. I'm referencing a seminar that I did decades ago called The Experience. It still happens. But the founder of The Experience liked to say something like, we are gentle spirits dancing playfully through life, and all we have to give and receive is love. And
exactly.
I find, especially in the filmmaking community, that when you meet people, it's very magical and long-lasting.
Exactly.
Yeah.
What would you each like to add to our conversation about anything, past, present, or future, that we might not have touched upon? And let's start with you, Amir.
Well, first of all, I'm excited that this little project of ours, My Life in Dance, continues to be a success at the film festival circuit so far. Our next screening is coming up in Seattle, and we're showing at the Seattle Lesbian and Gay Film Festival on October 18th at the AMC Theater, and we're part of this Movers and Shakers short films program. So that's coming up next on October 18th, so I'm really excited about that. And then we have submitted to other festivals. And also, Liz and I have been talking about a couple of other projects to work on, and like I mentioned earlier in the program, that we already knew each other from another documentary we've been working on last year. We filmed in Spain. So that's going to be released next year. And it's just amazing, you know, arts and culture and, you know, filmmaking brings people from all backgrounds together. Like how we met you was everything I've experienced is so mystical in this whole filmmaking world. Even though we work in a very, like, independent way, you know, we're not commercial filmmakers here in the Bay Area, but it's still so, you meet so many interesting people, and my whole thing has been telling these stories, bringing them to the screen so people can feel inspired by these stories. And, you know, because, I mean, everybody has experience. Like, for example, Miguel, I feel like, you know, if you show this documentary to somebody who is still struggling with their sexuality, whether it's in the United States, in states like Arizona or Texas or some other country, they will find courage that, okay, you know what, I'm not the first person to experience persecution or be thinking about it. There's others who've gone before me who've had the same struggle. So this is one of the things, and there are many other inspiration, you know, people find through these documentaries, through these little stories. And I'm so grateful to festivals like Cinema Doors and Cinemas, San Francisco Latino Film Festival, that showed our documentary the same day it was shown in Palm Springs, in Seattle, and other festivals, you know, that we are waiting to hear from, for giving us this opportunity to bring this story to their screens and to their cities.
Beautifully stated. What would you like to add, Liz, about past, present, or future?
I'm just very grateful for the opportunity to work with Amir. It's opened up many doors, and it's really opened up my eyes to film, the whole process of filmmaking, and just the whole film community and how things happen very organically with film. I find that really refreshing, because in this day and age, everything is so, I think, more technical and computerized and that kind of thing. Sometimes things, we don't allow things to happen organically, and when they do, you'd be very surprised what the outcome is. And I'm just very grateful for that. Future, Theater Flamenco is having their November show. That's going to be happening at the Cal Theater in San Francisco, and it's going to be November 20th, 21st, and 22nd, and we're bringing an amazing male performer. His name is Andreas Marin, and we are really gearing up for that right now, and I'm really looking forward to more flamenco and doing future films with Amir.
That sounds wonderful. I just want to remind our listeners that this podcast will live forever, so even if you listen to it a year from now, Theater Flamenco's website is theatre flamenco.org. Amir, have I been pronouncing your last name correctly, Jaffer?
Yeah, it's Jaffer. I mean, most people
it's Jaffer.
Call me Jafar from Aladdin, but I said, you know, I prefer Jaffer.
Would you like a Jaffer? Okay, Amir Jaffer. You can find Amir at AmirJaffer, JAFFER.com, AmirJaffer.com, correct?
That's right. It's double F, JAFFER.com.
Right. Yeah, double F, AmirJaffer.com. And you also have a Facebook page. I don't remember if you have a Facebook page for the film, do you?
Not so far. We're gonna create a film page for My Life in Dance pretty soon.
I was just gonna say, in the meantime, you two are both easy to find. Especially your production company is easy to find, so people can follow you in your film.
Yeah, on Facebook people can look us up at facebook.com/AmirJaffer Productions, and you can see what our projects are, what we're working on, and what's coming up next for this project and for other projects.
Well, it's been lovely talking to you too again. Keep me posted when I should get my butt to San Francisco. Will you both be going
to
Seattle? Say that again.
Thank you so much for having us on your show.
You're welcome. Will you be going to Seattle?
I don't think Amir, I know, is not going to be going, but I'm still contemplating it. I don't think I'm going to be able to go because I'm gearing up. I'm doing a lot of stuff for Theater Flamenco right now. So it looks like we're not going to be able to go, and I'm so bummed.
Well, you'll hear the rave reviews about everything that happens there.
Okay, great.
Thank you both for being on the show. I really appreciate it.
Well, thank you
thank
so much
you.
For talking to you.
My pleasure. The lovely Amir Jaffer and Liz Grillo of the short film My Life in Dance, which in Spanish is Mi Vida en el Valle. And I bet I said that right, but I forgot to ask them. At any rate, I'm so thankful that you've tuned in once again.
We are, in fact, connecting the circuitry of humanity. All of us connected. Please continue to connect with Nicholas Snow on Facebook, Twitter, Periscope, Instagram, Google+, and other social networks. Everything Nicholas Snow is available at nicholassnow.com. For our video programming, check out nicholassnow.tv. Please subscribe to the show for free at iTunes or by downloading a podcast app from your favorite app store. This program is produced and copyrighted by Nicholas Snow Productions, LLC. Thank you for being a part of the snowstorm. We are honored by your presence.